I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV, and today we're talking with Robert Higgs, who has written an introduction of the great Arthur E. Kirch classic, The Decline of American Liberalism, which is being reissued by the Independent Institute. Thanks for coming out, Bob.
My pleasure.
Bob, tell us about Arthur E. Kirch's great book, The Decline of American Liberalism, which you've written a new introduction for and that the Independent Institute is bringing out shortly. What's its thesis?
E. Kirch's thesis is that liberalism actually reached its peak about the time of the American Revolution.
Right.
And unlike most historians who see liberalism as something that grows and grows and grows over time and leads us up to the glorious present, E. Kirch saw almost steady decline. Occasionally there would be a little reversal of some sort that carried us back toward what he considered true or genuine liberalism.
Which is more like classical liberalism.
Which is classical liberalism of a very thoroughgoing kind. Mm-hmm. Individualism, extremely limited state, individuals that are free both in the sense of civil liberties and in the sense of economic liberties.
Right.
And particularly individuals that are not menaced by war,
right.
Which E. Kirch saw as probably the most important reason for the decline of liberalism.
Right, and he, of course, in other works, wrote a lot about the history of militarism and the way that that was a profound profoundly corrosive effect on liberalism.
Yes, he published a book in 1972 on the civilian and the military, which is also a very fine book, and I'm hoping that that we'll be able to reissue that as well, because it's still very worthwhile reading.
What E. Kirch, The Decline of American Liberalism, originally came out in 1955, and it was very much worried about the garrison state,
yes.
about the effects of the Cold War, McCarthyism, but
yes.
also the rise of the progressives.
Yes,
earlier in the starting in the teens and 20s. How did he see American liberalism play out in the progressive era, which contemporary liberals see as kind of the beginning of their great time in the sun?
Right. Well, for E. Kirch, progressivism portended a kind of broad-gauged attack on classical liberalism, because although progressives differed in many ways, they shared the idea that they could all use the state for some noble purpose, for the achievement of what they regarded as social justice. And E. Kirch appreciated that whenever liberals turned to the use of the state, they were subverting genuine liberalism.
What is his relevance to contemporary America? I mean, I've been a fan of Arthur E. Kirch ever since I discovered him, actually, in Reason Foundation's California Library. I stumbled across him. What can he tell us in the current moment that we're not getting?
Well, I think he shows how again and again in American history, crisis, military crisis in particular, but also economic crisis, becomes the occasion for the growth of the state and the submersion of the individual and individual liberties. And we're certainly in a crisis time at the moment. We're combining economic crisis and foreign policy crisis. And this is a very bad situation if you've taken a lesson from E. Kirch.
And in his emphasis on that, he anticipates your own fantastic book, Crisis and Leviathan, which talks about a ratcheting up
yes.
of state power. Give us a sense of what positive can we take away from this? You tend to be pretty pessimistic. Mm-hmm. E. Kirch, in an introduction to a 1967 version of The Decline of American Liberalism, at a time when flower power was at its height, he was like, God, things have never been so dark. What is cause for optimism in today's American scene?
Well, I actually don't read E. Kirch as a pessimistic historian. I read him as a realistic one, as one who's not going to be deceived by the misuse of language. We all understand that liberalism has been turned on its head over the past two centuries, and it means almost the opposite of what it once meant. But I think from E. Kirch, we don't get the sense that there's no hope. We get the sense that what caused the decline of liberalism, more than anything else, was faulty thinking. And there's always the potential for correcting our thinking, for superseding or transcending our past mistakes, and for remedying the situation in which we find ourselves.
Well, I hope that the Independent Institute's reissue of The Decline of American Liberalism, you know, gets E. Kirch out into wider and wider circulation.
I do too. It's a wonderful book. It's beautifully written. It's a joy to read, as well as being very informative, and it's certainly a lesson that people in many cases will never have encountered before. And even if they don't buy everything that E. Kirch is selling, nonetheless, I think they'll find it very stimulating reading.
Yeah, I hope so, and I think you're right. Your book, Depression, War, and Cold War, is coming out in paperback, also from Independent Institute. You know, depression, war, Cold War, two out of three you're working on here. What is the basic message in that book that people should be aware of?
People have misunderstood the relationship between war or preparation for war and economic prosperity. I really begin with the fallacy that's widely believed that World War II got the U.S. economy out of the Depression. And I hope that I've exploded that myth once and for all, because it's a very dangerous myth. It's still being peddled today by people such as Paul Krugman, and it needs to be laid to rest, because it's dangerous to think that there's this bright side of war, that however horrible it might be in terms of human suffering or destruction, it does good things for us economically. And that's simply a mistake. A root and branch mistake, not a little one, but an alpha to omega mistake. The second half of the book deals with the Cold War, and that also has been greatly misunderstood, although I don't think quite as much misunderstood as World War II, but there's still a lot that people don't know about the relationship between the military-industrial congressional complex and the economy. And there's still this view, at least in a local sense, that military spending is a good thing, good for the local economy. And that's also a pernicious idea, and one that I hope the view I take in the book will lay to rest.
Yeah, and I mean, the work on supposedly on World War II's stimulative effect has been undercut by you and people like Robert Barrow, I believe. The thesis of Depression, War, and Cold War is important not only because of mistakes about World War II, but also people are determined to say that we need 4% of GDP spent on the military, et cetera. So it's very relevant. Are you at all hopeful for change under an Obama administration or a Democratic Congress, at least when it comes to military spending?
I'm not terribly hopeful, but I do see some basis for hope, because the economic crisis may turn out to be so demanding that it will alert people to the desirability of cutting back military spending. It's been excessive for decades. It's far more than we need to defend this country from any plausible enemy. And it funds mostly a U.S. meddling all over the world that the people would be better off ending. So if it turns out that the economic troubles of the present are the cause for people's deciding finally to stop wasting so many billions of dollars on the military, then so much the better.
Thank you very much. My guest has been Robert Higgs of the Independent Institute, who has written a great new introduction for the classic Decline of American Liberalism by Arthur E. Kirch. And Bob Higgs's own book, Depression, War, and Cold War, will also be reissued in a paperback edition by the Independent Institute shortly. Also essential reading at this time in history.